Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
This is the big story of the day. It's brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. Joe Biden had the interview with the special counsel, Robert Hur. Congress said, we want the transcripts, we want the audio recordings, and we want it. And we're doing an impeachment inquiry into the president, and we want this stuff. And he said no. Now, when this happened, I told you last time, I said there's precedent for this. The executive branch can't tell Congress no. If it's pursuing an impeachment of the executive, they have to turn over these documents, whatever they need. This is Nixon v. the United States. We literally went through this with Nixon. And they said, turn over the tapes, and then Nixon resigned. Garland stands up there last week or 2 weeks ago, whatever it was, and says, I don't have to turn that over. I get to decide. I get to decide what you get. This guy is such a tyrant. This Merrick Garland, who has weaponized the Department of Justice, who has made the United States Justice Department, honestly, a police state agency weaponized against its own people to help with this gaslighting operation of all of us, in which the government of the United States censors us and tells us what's information and disinformation and harasses moms at school board meetings and tells them they might be domestic violent extremists and dads in Cabela's fishing hats and people that buy Bibles and guns and ammunition. You might be a domestic violent extremist. Arrest pro-lifers for praying outside of abortion clinics by busting in their doors like they're going to get some big drug lord. All under Garland, all under his watch. The FBI has violated the law and did warrantless metadata gathering, warrantless spying of American citizens by violating FISA. All under Merrick Garland. And now he turns around and he says, I'm not going to comply with a congressional subpoena to turn over the audio transcript of Robert Hur. I'm not going to do it. I get to decide. I'm the attorney general. I get to decide. No, you don't. This is how the process works under the United States Constitution. All members of the executive branch are subject to impeachment. And the president of the United States cannot pardon somebody in matters of impeachment. Every officer, every part of the president's cabinet, of which the attorney general of the United States is part of, is subject to that. Including Merrick Garland. Including Merrick Garland, by the way. The president, the vice president, and all civil officers of the United States shall be removed from office on impeachment for and conviction of treason, bribery, or other high crimes and misdemeanors. Under Article 2. Translation, we're Congress. We decide that. We have the impeachment power under Article 1. And we get to have the oversight in this. Here's a little bit of Tom Massey grilling Merrick Garland. Take a listen.
Ask unanimous consent to submit for the record an amicus brief by the former Attorney General Edwin Meese.
Without objection?
The question presented is whether private citizen Jack Smith lacks authority to represent
the
United
States. No, that's not the right one,
Matt.
Stop. Let me see if I can find it for you. This is the clip here. I'll send it to you. You know, Matt, you could just do a quick YouTube search, for God's sakes, and you'd find it just like I did in about 8 seconds.
Sorry, I'm kind of in the middle of something here.
Oh, yeah, you are trying to get our guest. Yeah. He seems to be strangely absent for some reason, which is very unlike him.
Sorry, we should have him any second.
Oh, okay, good. All right. No problem. He defended to the Wall Street Journal not turning over the Biden interview audio, which he's now being held in contempt of Congress over his refusal to do so. And this guy is so arrogant. And this is all because he never got the hearing to be the United States Supreme Court justice. I mean, this is outrageous. And then you have one Republican voting no because he says, I don't want to further weaponize the justice system. Dude, you're doing your job. Congress's job is to ensure the executive complies with oversight. It's literally in my formerly pangolin stained fingers. I've got Article 1 right here where it talks about the ability of Congress to have oversight of the executive. It's all right here. And as I see this and as I read this, I don't see an exemption here where the Attorney General of the United States gets to tell Congress no, gets to tell Congress he doesn't have to do what they want. He gets to decide, not them. This is the administration that is completely out of control. It truly is. It truly is. Here's Garland. Take a listen.
In your professional capacity, you suggested to the president to invoke executive privilege. He invoked executive privilege. It protects you both personally. Is that a conflict of interest?
Look, the Justice Department is a fundamental institution of our democracy. People depend on us to ensure that our investigations and our prosecutions are conducted according to the facts and the law and without political influence. We have gone to extraordinary lengths to ensure that the committees get responses to their legitimate requests. But this is not one. To the contrary, this is one that would harm our ability in the future to successfully pursue sensitive investigations. Now, there have been a series of unprecedented and frankly, unfounded attacks on the Justice Department. This request, this effort to use contempt as a method of obtaining our sensitive law enforcement files is just the most recent. The effort to threaten to defund our investigations and the way in which there are contributions to an atmosphere that puts our agents and our prosecutors at risk, these are wrong. Look, the only thing I can do is continue to do the right thing. I will protect this building and its people.
Oh, please. All right, but let me turn to our special guest. We're very, very excited to welcome him back. He is the number one New York Times best-selling author of the James Reese series, the one and only Navy SEAL sniper, Jack Carr. Welcome back, my friend.
How's it going out there? How are you?
We're so excited to welcome you back into town on Tuesday, June 25th. Everybody is fired up.
Cannot wait. I always have a great time coming out and seeing you. It's going to be fantastic.
So Red Sky Morning, you're killing it, man. I saw also on social media, you're filming the prequel to The Terminalist on Amazon Prime. I mean, we are living in the age of Jack Carr right now.
Well, I don't know about that, but I'm certainly head down, working away the books. I got my first nonfiction coming out on the 1983 Beirut Barracks bombing. That comes out in September. And filming the show in Budapest, went right from there to D-Day, 80th anniversary commemoration events in Normandy. Just got home from that in time to talk to you. So it's been busy.
Yeah, so you took your son to Normandy. That must have been an incredible experience to be there with him.
Yeah, it's been incredible. My daughter started doing those for the 80th anniversary of Pearl Harbor. So in December of 2021, we went back there, started working with veterans through the Best Defense Foundation. She then went to Normandy for the 78th and back there for the 80th. And this time brought my son as well. And my wife went out there. And my son's younger, so he hasn't had a chance to work with the veterans like my daughter has. But I wanted him to meet as many World War II veterans as he possibly could, look them in the eye, shake their hands, and say thank you. So he got to do that out there, which was pretty special.
Oh, that's amazing, Jack. Well done. Well done, my friend. And as a Navy SEAL, I know that the SEALs recreated the landing at Normandy. Were you able to see that as well?
Did they come over the water? I saw a bunch of guys who were jumping. A lot of guys did the static line jumps. Those were going pretty much all week. And we got to go out there, bring our veterans out there. Had great weather, so they got to watch. The last 2 years, it got amazing. Weathered out. So Normandy can have a lot of fog and rain and that sort of thing. So they had a great time watching that. But this time, as of last time, I was focused on the veterans. And with 48 of them all nearing at or over 100 years old, your sole focus has to be caring for those guys. During the almost 2 weeks that we were there. So it's just such an honor to be able to help them out like that. And for my daughter and now son to hear their stories, hear about the Depression, the war, coming home, starting families, starting businesses, and really building this country into what it became.
I mean, the freedom that you have to write these books, these amazing books, the James Reese series, the freedom you have to do your TV shows. I mean, had we lost World War II, had the Nazis prevailed, had D-Day been a failure, of which, as you point out, you know, Eisenhower would have taken full responsibility for. I saw your piece that you wrote on Fox News about that. It would be a very, very different world had D-Day not been the success that it was.
And they have not forgotten that in northern France. When people think about France, typically they think about Paris. But in Normandy, they have not forgotten. And they passed it on. It's multi-generational at this point because those that are still around are getting up there. Their kids, and now their kids all have this same look in their eye. They're all so thankful. And it's so authentic. You can tell. And we do these school visits where I see more American flags than I do here on the 4th of July. All the kids waving them. They all want to shake these guys' hands. They have these baseball cards that have their photos on it, what they look like now, what they looked like then, a little history of what they did in the war on the back. They're asking for autographs. And there's so much excitement around these guys. And the whole all these towns come out. They're wearing World War II uniforms. They have old Jeeps and old Harley and Indian motorcycles. And it is something to see. I wish every American could experience it because you see more patriotism for the United States over there in northern France in June than I've seen here in quite some time.
Well, that's a shame to hear that, but also it's incredible to hear it at the same time. But I really it bothers me that we don't have that same level of patriotism in this country, and people don't understand how amazing this country is. We defeated the greatest evil of the last century. We defeated the Nazis and liberated Europe and saved the world. America did that with our allies, and there are too many kids today who are being taught that America is a terrible country, Jack.
I know. They don't do that over there. I took a bunch of pictures in this school visit that we went to, and I'm taking pictures of these posters they have up that have pictures of American GIs in World War II up all over the school. All the kids from kindergarten up to high school, and the artwork all over the school welcoming these veterans, American flags everywhere, a gigantic American flag on the side of the building. And it's just, it is something to see. And it is too bad that we don't have that in this country. They're teaching the exact opposite in northern France, and it's evident. And it stood out to me last time. It stood out to me again this time. But what was very cool is that it doesn't seem diluted from the older people all the way down to the younger people. You'd think it would dilute a little bit with each generation, but it hasn't. It's absolutely incredible to see these little kids out there waving American flags, 101st Airborne flags, 82nd Airborne flags, and they just want to touch these veterans, shake their hands, do a fist bump, and thank them. It's truly amazing to witness.
Red Sky Morning, the new book. The book tour is underway. You're coming back to our neighborhood on Tuesday, June 25th, the Zlock Performing Arts Center at Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. This is in partnership with the Doylestown Bookshop, great local bookshop. Tickets are on sale now. It's almost sold out. We're super excited. Red Sky Morning. So tell us about the title. This is now book number 7 in the James Reese series.
Book number 7. So, of course, there are a few nods in there. It's Ian Fleming and his creation, yeah. James Bond. So that was fun for me to weave in little tidbits that even the most ardent Bond and Fleming fan might not notice, and then a few that even the most casual fan of the films will notice. So that was fun to put those in there. It's also the 40th anniversary of The Hunt for Red October, which came out in 1984, 40 years ago. So the first prologue in particular is a nod to Tom Clancy and what he did for the genre. So that's all packed in there. Red Sky Morning, MOURNING. So spelled a little bit differently there. I like all my titles to have multiple meanings, and this one is no different. But this time I focused on China and really went deep down the rabbit hole into quantum computing, AI, current Chinese submarines, U.S. next generation submarines, autonomous control of certain platforms, specifically naval platforms, hypersonic missiles, and passive targeting. So all these things play a role in this book, and I got to do a ton of research for it. And China, Taiwan, their population, what that means for China as a country, and what our technological advances mean for them if they do indeed want to take Taiwan back by force. So all those things collide in the pages of this latest novel.
Oh, I can't wait. I'm so excited. Congratulations. I started reading it as usual. I can't put it down. Love it. I love all your books, Jack Carr. People do. I mean, everybody's so excited for the new iteration here, the new book, also for the show, for the prequel, everything that's happening. I got to ask you, as you write these books and we're talking today, two things, June 12th, number one, today is the anniversary of President Reagan saying tear down this wall. And as this is all happening, we've got Russian warships that are back off the shores of Cuba right now.
Ooh, I did not see that this morning. I've been head down in Normandy working with those veterans and back here, so I have not seen that yet. But as soon as we're off, I'm going to check it out. Interesting how some things come full circle.
Right? Yeah, I mean, it's amazing. And I know you've written your last book focused on Russia and Iran, and that was a phenomenal book. But yeah, I know right now Putin has sent warships to Cuba. It's kind of like the Cuban Missile Crisis all over again, but, a little bit dialed down. But that's happening. And when I think about the context of China on the world stage, it really is scary, the technology aspect of this, from hypersonic missiles to the new generation of submarines that we're talking about. And the question that I have for you, Jack Carr, because I know you do incredible research when you write all your books, is China beating us in the technology game?
I don't think quite yet. Which in this book I write about in terms of them needing to then make a move before we get to our next generational type of platforms with that autonomous control. Because if you are working towards autonomous control of certain platforms, it means it takes a lot of the time out of the decision-making process. And whether you're at the tactical level or the strategic level, typically making a decision faster than your enemy, getting inside their decision-making process, can help lead you down the road to victory. So all of these things are at play in the pages of this novel. But the first time I really started looking at the differences between the U.S. and China where it comes to quantum computing and some of these different technological innovations was a few books ago in the Blood. And that was before ChatGPT came out and became part of the lexicon. And so in this one, I know, of course, I don't have any special inside information, but I would say that we still hold the edge. edge when it comes to those sorts of things. But of course, China has people everywhere. They have people throughout our government influencing people in our government at all the tech companies. Or if they're not in those tech companies, they have people that are running assets in those tech companies. So they're well aware of where we stand from a technological perspective. And, of course, that plays into their decision making. And so it's fascinating to do this research. But I'd say that we still hold the edge. I say we still have it.
A Chinese submarine has gone rogue, a tech mogul with unknown allegiances, a politician controlled by a foreign power, a breath away from the Oval Office. That's what you're going to find in Red Sky Morning, a sentient quantum computer that has become a weapon. Oh, man, this is fantastic. And a power grab unlike anything the world has ever seen. Jack Carr is with me. His new book, Red Sky Morning, your chance to get a copy of it in your hands, coming up on Tuesday, June 25th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA. But you got to get your tickets right now at 1210WPHT.com. Because these tickets will sell out. All of Jack's events always do, and you want to make sure that you're there. We'll have a great conversation on stage together that night. I'm really excited about this. Jack, as somebody who has now been on this journey writing your seventh book, and you said you have a nonfiction book coming out this fall, tell us a little bit more about that.
So I've always wanted to delve into the nonfiction side of the house, but not necessarily a this is what I did in Iraq and Afghanistan type of a book or a leadership type of book, anything like that. I weave a lot of history into the pages of my novels, whether that's part of the story or part of character development as part of a character's background to explain a little bit about who they are today and why they're making the decisions that they do. But in thinking about the nonfiction side of the house and going in that direction, I thought back to a seminal event really in the history of our foreign policy, which was the Marine barracks bombing in Beirut, Lebanon in 1983. Mm-hmm. And I distinctly remember the Time and Newsweek covers that showed up at our house. I remember watching the news with my parents. I remember the newspaper articles about it as that happened. And it was really pivotal for me in that I knew I was going to join the military. I was already on that path, even at age 10 back then. And so I knew that the war of the future for my generation was going to have some connection to terrorism. And so I want those lessons that we learned in blood to not be forgotten. We're not very good in this country about learning these lessons and applying them going forward as wisdom, as we should. We typically have to learn things over and over and over again. And the people who suffer are those on the front lines who have to go out there and man the guard post. And I wanted to keep those. So this is my way of being able to keep some of those lessons alive. And there wasn't really the seminal work on this event yet either. So there's that. There are recently declassified documents from the Reagan administration, so you can really get a good sense of who was advocating to move the Marines ashore into Lebanon, who was advocating to keep them on ships in the Med, and then it's the personal story of what actually happened that day. Because before the advent of social media, you could read these certain articles, read these newspaper articles, watch things on the news, but then to hear it from the survivors of them digging for their friends through the rubble, and then having to identify the bodies, it really humanizes that event. So I look at it from a strategic level, a tactical level, and hopefully humanize it for the audience and capture those lessons so we don't have to relearn them in blood for the next generation.
The book is called Red Sky Morning, and it's an amazing book. I'm loving reading this. I love the level of detail. I love the nod to Ian Fleming because it is 007. It is the seventh book in the series. And we are just about 7 days away from our event with well, the book comes out in about 7 days. We're about 2 weeks away, June 25th. So I want to make sure you're there for that. June 25th, Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College in Newtown, PA, 1210WPHT.com. Jack, congratulations also on The Terminalist, The Dark Wolf, Chris Pratt, Taylor Kitsch. The Terminalist was a fantastic show on Amazon Prime. It was great. I mean, Chris Pratt is one of my absolute all-time favorites. I loved him as Star-Lord. I loved him on Parks and Rec. I think the guy is incredibly talented. Taylor Kitsch, of course, being a Friday Night Lights guy, I loved him in that. But these two guys are so good together. Still my favorite line might be from The Terminalist when Taylor Kitsch looks at the camera and goes, "I blank and hate golf." I still crack up every time I hear that and every time I think about playing golf, because I also hate golf. I always think about that line.
I love it. And Chris Pratt, of course, loves golf. So they have a great time together. They really play off each other well. They ad lib. It's so fun to see those guys work together. And they're both just, you know, normal good dudes. And that you'd want to hang out, have a beer with, have a whiskey with, have a coffee with, and hang out. So right now they're over in Budapest, just crushing it on this new show. Can't wait to get that one out. It should come out sometime in 2025, I think. We'll wrap it up here over the next couple months, move into post-production. But it's looking good, and it really follows that Taylor Kitsch's character, Ben Edwards, and his journey from the SEAL teams into the CIA. And it's a prequel, so it predates the events of The Terminal List and gives viewers a glimpse into what happened to him so that it would allow him to do what he did in the show and in the book, The Terminal List. So can't wait to see that come to life. It's looking good.
You know, you're a regular down-to-earth guy. It's amazing how incredibly humble you are with all your success. And the first time I met you, I thought that about you. And that was years ago when The Terminal List just came out and Jack Carr was not a household name yet. You're the kind of guy to drink an American whiskey with. And by the way, just so you know, American whiskey is Jack Carr's whiskey. As much as I'm a bourbon guy, Jack, I have to admit, I haven't tried it yet. So I'm just saying, if maybe the publisher wants to bring me a bottle on Tuesday, June 25th, I won't say no, but you pair with a Houghton Young cigar. It sounds like a fantastic way. A little bourbon, a little cigar, a little Red Sky Morning. I mean, how can you possibly go wrong, right?
That'd be hard to beat. It's 125 proof, so you got to be careful with it. It's luckily it's really good, but that's also dangerous in that 125 proof. But we'll see what we can do. We'll see what we can make happen.
All right. I mean, you got a guy. So, you know, we'll see what we can do. And I'm excited to see you in person again, my friend. I thank you for coming back to Philadelphia, because this will be 6 out of 7 where you've joined us. And people are so fired up for it. So Tuesday, June 25th, go to officialjackcarr.com, officialjackcarr.com. You got gear, apparel, drinkware, knives. Jack, can you tell us about the logo that you use on all your merch?
Yeah, so it's a Winkler tomahawk, and when I started down this path, being a child of the 80s, and of course a fan of David Morrell and First Blood, Rambo First Blood Part 2, the books and the films, I knew I needed something for my character that would speak to him as a student of warfare, but also as a modern practitioner. So I had given my kids at my retirement ceremony from the military a few gifts. I gave them 4 gifts. I gave them a compass, an old nautical compass. I gave them a Bible, and I said, these 2 things are to guide you. I gave them a leather-bound copy of the Constitution and Bill of Rights, and then I gave them a Winkler tomahawk, and I said, here's the means to defend them. And so I was home, and I knew that I had to have some sort of a logo. I needed a symbol. And so I had those 3 tomahawks for each of the 3 kids sitting there. And so I put them on the ground, crossed 2 of them, took a picture, and I thought, you know what? That's going to be the symbol. That's going to be the logo. And I asked Daniel Winkler if I could use it. And he's a guy who makes the tomahawks out of North Carolina. Fantastic guy. He did all the weapons for Last of the Mohicans back in the day. And a lot of guys have taken his knives and axes downrange over 20 years at war. So, that's how it became became my logo, and it is the signature weapon of James Reese and the Terminal List series.
Outstanding. Well, get your book, get your ticket to the event. You'll get a signed copy of Red Sky Morning. Jack signs all the books. One of the things I love about you is that when you come to these events, I think you got out of there last time. I think it might have been 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning. You stay that late. I mean, it's incredible. You talk to everybody. You're just such a down-to-earth, decent guy, Jack Carr.
Well, I absolutely love it. I feel extremely fortunate. And Book Tour is a place where I can shake someone's hand, look them in the eye, and thank them in person. And I try to do that on social media. I try to thank as many people as I can who take the time to comment and say, we love the show, love the books, whatever it might be. And so I try to thank them on social channels. That's what I love the most about the social channels. But in person, it's just a little bit different, being able to shake somebody's hand and sincerely thank them because they allow me to do what I love, which is to write. So I absolutely love Book Tour. And of course, I can't wait to see you and everybody out there. But it's I have such a great time doing it. I will always stay as long as it takes. And it's an honor for me to do so.
OfficialJackCarr.com and get your tickets today at 1210WPHG.com. We will see the man himself, Jack Carr, on Tuesday, June 25th at the Zlock Performing Arts Center, Bucks County Community College, Newtown, PA. Red sky morning. Jack Carr, thank you, my friend. I'll see you in a couple weeks.
Oh, sounds fantastic. I can't wait.
It's the 5 o'clock happy hour. On the Rich Cioli Show, brought to you by the Oceanfront Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, a premier full-service resort and conference center, grandhotelcapemay.com.
I've gotten a couple questions about the event, and just so you know, there is a VIP event that sold out very, very quickly, but everyone who comes to the event, Jack will sign your book. He does that. That's what he does. So, you're not just going to get a signed copy. Jack meets you, says hello, and signs your book. That's what he does. So if you, even though the VIP is sold out, and this is the publisher, this is not me. I've gotten a few people who've sent notes and said, are there any extra tickets left? Unfortunately, not. But don't fret, because if you come to the event, you're going to get to meet Jack, shake his hand, look him in the eye, like you just said, and he's going to sign your book. So it's absolutely going to be an epic night. And as much fun as it is to talk to him on the phone, in person, it's 1,000 times better. Really is 1,000 times better. So book it, mark it down, get your ticket now, because it's going to sell out. It may have already sold out, but just between the course of this interview. 1210WPHG.com. And I'm happy we're doing this event. I'm happy it's the Grand Hotel Happy Hour, brought to you by our friends at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Just go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com, and we'll be back there on June 21st for our next live show in Cape May. GrandHotelCapeMay.com, my happy place, official place for the summer. I'm also happy. Jack talked about his son and his daughter being in Normandy for the 80th anniversary of D-Day. I spent a lot of time talking to my kids about D-Day the other day as well, and the importance of service and doing something bigger than yourself in life. I love being a dad. I really do. Father's Day is coming up this Sunday. If you have not gotten dad something yet, please do it. Do it today. Go to omahasteaks.com and put in my name, Zioli, at checkout, and you will get gift packages for dad starting at just $89. $89. Can't beat it. Do it today. $89, and you'll give dad something that's going to make him very, very happy. Dads love great food. Dad loves food. I'm a dad. I know this, so trust me on this. The other night, we made these Omaha Steaks beef tenderloin burgers, threw them on the grill. Unbelievable. Best burger I've ever had. I'm telling you, it's like eating a steak, but it's a burger. And then the other night we did some of the beef tenderloins. I sous vide them first. I finished them off on the grill, seared them with the Omaha Steak seasoning. Whether it's side dishes, desserts, pork chops, seafood, Omaha Steaks has something for everybody. And when you go to omahasteaks.com and put in my name, Zioli, right now, you're going to get dad something very special starting at just $89. So please, excuse me, do it today. omahasteaks.com, because Father's Day is Sunday. And dad doesn't want you to run out and get him another golf shirt. He doesn't want you to run out and get him a mug. He wants steak, baby. American made steak. This is the real deal. No, China doesn't own Omaha Steaks. It's a family company. It's America's oldest butcher, and it's been around for generations. So you're getting the best of the best, the best of the best. OmahaSteaks.com. At checkout, put in my name, Zioli. OmahaSteaks.com.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
bathroom?
I feel
like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Blaze.com has a story they just broke, which apparently now, I guess, well, it may not have necessarily broken, but the story they just put out on, well, yeah, it's June 12th. So was I molested? I think so. Snopes update on Ashley Biden diary fact check spells trouble for Joe Biden is the story. The entry in a sexual trauma section concerning Joe Biden's alleged inappropriate behavior towards his daughter was evidently real all along. Amy Harris moved into the former residence of Ashley Biden in Delray Beach, Florida in 2020, just as Hunter Biden abandoned a laptop containing damning information at a Delaware computer repair shop. Well, that was actually 2019. Ashley Biden left behind a diary containing troublesome allegations that implicated then presidential candidate Joe Biden in possible abuse. After finding the diary, Harris worked in concert with Robert Kurlander to sell the document, ultimately to Project Veritas. Kurlander and Harris pleaded guilty years later to conspiracy to transport supposedly stolen property across state lines. Project Veritas refrained from publishing it, both out of concern for doing more harm to Ashley Biden than her father may already have, and the organization's inability to corroborate the allegation further. The National File, however, published a digital copy it allegedly received from a Project Veritas employee in October of 2020. Just as social media dutifully hid the Hunter Biden laptop story from the public ahead of the 2020 election, PolitiFact indicated that damning posts about the Democrat in the diary were flagged as misinformation. Once again, the so-called misinformation of yesteryear has matured into the cold, hard, proven facts of today. Snopes has updated its fact check page on the diary, confirming both that the diary belonged to Ashley Biden and that the president's daughter accused him of inappropriate behavior. The page previously indicated that the claim that, quote, a diary authored by U.S. President Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley, describes inappropriate actions towards her taken by the president when she was called when she was a child, was unproven. It now says the following. This is Snopes.com. Fact check. Did Ashley Biden call childhood showers with her father probably inappropriate in leaked diary? I will forever have to deal with the fact that my personal journal can be viewed online. Ashley Biden wrote to a district court judge. And what I'm trying to understand, it's now fact checked true. It's now being rated true. What I don't understand, though, Matt DeSantis, and help me out here, is that it's saying this was updated on May 14th. However, the Blaze.com, I just got this email in my email for dated June 12th. I'm trying to understand this now.
That is weird.
And the story links to May 14th, 2024. But I think that if this had happened in May, we probably would have known about this, right? So was this just the date just wrong, or what's going on here?
I don't know. That's very strange. Send me the article. I kind of want to investigate now.
All right, yeah. And I'm at a point now where I don't trust anything, and I feel like I'm just constantly being gaslit all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, that I don't know. But I'm on the Snopes webpage, and it seems like this was updated in May. I don't remember hearing about this before, and I just got the text. I mean, I just got the email from the Blaze in my afternoon update just now. It says, and this is the email that I just got. It says, was I molested? I think so. Snopes update on Ashley Biden diary fact check spells trouble for Joe Biden. Unless they did it in May quietly and they just figured it out today on June 12th. That's possible, right?
I get. Yeah, that has to be it, because this story is definitely from May 14th.
But then the story is from, and then when you click on it to try to tweet it out, something comes up about Dana White and Howie Mandel.
That's so weird. Well, like you said, we always double check everything. So, yeah, I have no idea what to do with this.
I'm going to go, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to go Snopes.com. All right. I'm not going to click on any links here. I'm just going to go flat out Snopes.com. I'm going to put in Ashley Biden diary. All right. And this is just Snopes.com, Ashley Biden diary. Snopes fact check. Let's see here now. This is April 5th. The existence of a diary and the authenticity of purported facsimiles of a diary are two entirely different questions. Updated May 14th. Fact check true. A diary authored by U.S. President Joe Biden's daughter, Ashley Biden, described showers taken with her father when she was a child as probably not appropriate. On April 29th, 2024, Snopes changed the rating of this fact check from unproven to true based on testimony provided by Ashley Biden. In an April 8th letter to a New York judge requesting jail time for one of the two people convicted of stealing her diary, Biden wrote, I will forever have to deal with the fact that my personal journal can be viewed online. Previous versions of this fact check noted strong evidence that the diary existed, but argued that no source had authenticated the contents of the pages published online, writing that the authenticity of photographs purported to be from a diary is a separate question from the factual existence of a diary. So I guess the question that I have here is this old news, or is it just that they silently updated the fact check to true and didn't tell anybody, and then people have just figured this out and they just need to update the day of their the correct day in the article from the Blaze? So what I don't understand, you know,
it looks like it's from last month, and then maybe it just didn't get any traction when it was initially released, so they're pushing it a second time.
Interesting.
Because I don't remember seeing anything about it in May.
Yeah. I think we probably would have heard, if Snopes changed the fact check, like they changed the Hunter Biden laptop fact check, that's the relevant part of the story, is that the existence of the diary is real. They're not saying that her claims are true. They don't know if they are, although I'm told that all women are to be believed, so I don't see why they wouldn't believe her. But they're saying the existence of the diary is true. Previously, they said it was unproven. Just like they did with the Hunter Biden laptop. So there's a pattern emerging here, I guess, would be my point.
Yeah, it sounds like there's the correlation with the laptop, and that's why it's, I guess, newsworthy in their eyes again.
Interesting. By the way, I think Andrew, who just joined the show today, will be a part-time producer. Hopefully we'll have him on the show. I think you've done a great job with the music today, Andrew.
Thank you. I'm glad you like the selection.
Now, does your wife listen to the show?
I told her my schedule, like to being a part of the show this week. And she normally likes to listen because she gets excited when, like, there's the prospect of me getting to talk. So
right.
I hope she's listening, but sometimes the kids at home keep her pretty busy, though.
I understand. Same with my wife and my kids.
Yeah.
My wife hates the show, so she doesn't listen. No, I'm just kidding. It's just the kids. The kids. Busy. Your wife's dealing with a 22-month-old and a 6-month-old.
Yes.
Yeah, so that's a lot.
It is.
But I hope she knows that all the fun we had with you at 4 o'clock was all in good fun. We're guys. We break stones. That's
yes.
What we do.
Yeah, no. Okay. She enjoys the slaps and the funsies and all that good stuff. So
yeah, because you're getting roasted on Twitter over the turkey sausage thing. I mean, people are actually putting
listen. I don't judge people for their diet, so I don't. You know, I just ask the same to be done on me. But I understand it's my first time on the show.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows. So, you know, people got to warm up to me. That's all.
I get it. And I'll be honest with you, nobody's going to have respect for your diet. But you can respect theirs. That's fine.
Andrew, well, that's okay. I'll choose the high road. That's fine. I don't mind.
You'll choose the high road.
Yeah.
Good for you.
Yeah.
The other question I wanted to ask you is now, is your goal to be a radio host at someday?
I'd like to be.
Okay. In this genre of talk radio?
Politics, news, or sports, doesn't really matter. I think of myself as being somebody who's well-rounded and can hold a conversation in either category. The way I look at it is, if the technical...
Can you make the conversation interesting, though? That's the question.
Yeah.
Can you work on that part of it?
Yeah, well... This is, see, it goes back to this. I'm new, getting right. acclimated, and I'll definitely be picking some tips up from you as we move along as well.
As
so
you should. I'm the best in the industry.
I'm definitely taking notes as we move along here. But the other thing, it's like learning the technical side, I think, is a really underrated thing to know, especially from a host perspective, because I think it's an advantage to be a host who can do a lot of the technical stuff themselves. Not saying that they have to. As a producer myself, you know, there's a lot of stuff that goes on behind the scenes, but to be somebody who's very well-rounded, learning the technical side first, at least in my experience over the last few years being out of college, I think it's definitely something that's been an advantage for me.
Well, good. I completely disagree. I could care less about how the boards run, but I think that's wonderful that you believe that.
Okay.
And the other thing, too, so how would you, where'd you go to college?
Rowan University in Glassboro.
All right, so you're a local guy.
Yep.
All right, Rowan, South Jersey guy.
Yep.
And you're married. How many years have you been married?
Five. It'll be 5 years in August.
So did you meet your wife in college or high school?
High school.
High school sweetheart.
Yep.
Wow, that's great.
Yeah.
Excellent. That's wonderful. That's great. I do have a friend I want you to stay away from. His name is Rick DeMichelle, okay? He's a divorce attorney in South Jersey. I don't want you to go anywhere near that guy.
Understood.
Right? What he'll do is he'll make a bet with your wife for $1, and then he'll... You see where I'm going with this?
Yeah.
So don't... Mm-hmm. Stay away far away
right.
from him.
Right.
The other thing I wanted to mention, too, is that if you want to talk... Politics or sports are two totally different things. You know that, right?
No, the thing is, you do see a lot, at least in the sports world, there's a lot of people being involved in a lot of political correctness, if you want to include that in the conversation.
It stinks, right?
Well, and you see it across, and it affects the numbers of things. You see it across the NBA. There's a lot of, like, kneeling for the national anthem and the NFL. That was a big thing with that. And it just seems like it affects it. You know, the way that I used to look at it was sports was a way to get away from the politics and the annoyingness of government and all that stuff. But over the last number of years, specifically since COVID, you see a lot of athletes kind of taking their stances and making it known and taking their things public. And it's just, you know, the way I look at it is you're more than welcome to do that, but I don't want to know what your political opinion is. I want to watch you play a sport. And I feel like that line needs to be redrawn and re-solidified, and, you know, we need a break from the news and the boring and the annoyingness and the pressure and the frustration and all that stuff, because sports were supposed to be, you know, the getaway from all that.
Well, you know, it's true, and you're right. And then there's the in my opinion, sports commentators go woke. They always wind up going to the left. They're all a bunch of closet lefties, and the ones who aren't get exposed very quickly and get thrown out. I tell you, Trump just posted a video to TikTok, his second video on TikTok ever. It's with Logan Paul, who is a UFC fighter. And the two of them stare each other in the eye, and then they kind of do like a chest bump. It's hysterical. So that's pretty cool. I mean, I think Trump is UFC. If there was an embodiment of a sport, if a sport could be embodied into a person, UFC and Trump.
Yeah, and it's kind of fun. Like we have the TV on in the studio, and they showed that clip of Trump and Logan Paul squaring off, and I was literally just talking to Matt. I was like, that would be the two of those guys would have so much fun talking to each other, just because of how a high energy, the kind of charismatic person Logan Paul is to have as a podcast host, and then you include Donald Trump in that. I think that episode, or however the podcast or whatever they're going to do, like, I would definitely tune into that. That sounds like a very entertaining show.
DeSantis, how many TikTok followers does Trump have?
Trump is at 6 million TikTok followers right now.
No, but how many?
6 million.
Okay, 6 million. Now, Joe Biden has invested lots and lots of money building up TikTok, and apparently it's where all the young people who support him are. Trump got on TikTok, what, last week, I think?
Yeah, I think it's been less than 2 weeks.
All right, so Trump has 6 million TikTok followers. So let me ask the question then. With all of the money he's invested, with the resources of the White House, with the resources of the DNC and the Biden campaign, going after so-called influencers on TikTok, the platform that apparently the young youngins, the youths, are all using in this day and age. How many followers does Joe Biden have on TikTok?
He has a whopping 374,000.
374 million. So Trump's got a lot of... He's got to catch up. No?
374,000. Not million.
This sounds like our podcast breakdowns. Okay, so it's... 6 million versus 400,000. So Trump's got
less
6 million. And Biden's got less than 400,000, and it's been a week.
And Biden's been on since, I believe, the Super Bowl. I think that was around the time where he rolled out his big TikTok.
Remarkable.
Account.
Remarkable. Matt DeSanctimonious, if you'd be so kind as to invite Representative Scott Perry on the show tomorrow again. I know that he was just on recently, but he just put out a post saying to Merrick Garland, hey, we're the legislative branch. We get to decide here, not you, if you need to turn something over to us. And good for him for saying so. And I'd like to talk to him about that tomorrow if we could.
I'll text him right now.
Thank you very much. But I do want to, I got to take a quick break because we have New Jersey Senator Mike Testa joining us in just a moment. And I want to ask him about the Jersey Shore and what's going on down there and how he can bring, but he's also the Republican chairman of the Cumberland County Republican Party. So I also want to ask him about Trump's prospects in New Jersey and Curtis Bashaw, the U.S. Senate candidate, what that's going to be, the effect that that's going to have. And he was Trump's lawyer in the 2020 election. So Pennsylvania, got to chat with him about that as well. So big fourth and final hour coming up straight ahead. But I'm so excited we're going to be back live at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey on June 21st. The Cape May is my happy... Cape May, the Grand Hotel is my happy place. And Cape May is the best beach town, in my opinion, bar none. You want to be there for that. You got to make your summer vacation memories. Please do it. Don't forego summer vacation. I know the economy's tough, but the Grand makes it easy. They give you resort credits, which you can use on site to take your family out to dinner, drinks at the pool bar, take them on a whale-watching boat cruise if you like. The Grand also has rooms, suites, and townhomes with kitchenettes and refrigerators. So you can have the comforts and conveniences of a Jersey Shore house without the expense of a Jersey Shore house and without having to wash the sheets and towels. Plus, you get the resort amenities, a gigantic outdoor heated pool, an indoor heated pool. If the weather's bad on the beach, you can go inside and the kids can still have a great time. There's nothing worse than when it rains on vacation. You're trapped in a shore house with nothing to do, right? So the Grand Hotel has a game room for the kids. Kids, Hemingway's restaurant right on site. And the longer you stay, the more you save in resort credits. But book direct with them for the best rates. Go to GrandHotelCapeMay.com. GrandHotelCapeMay.com and make your reservation today. They always sell out for the summer. They always do. And mark your calendar, June 21st, the next time we'll be there at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about the
I feel
bathroom?
Like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything
taken
care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 45% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands. thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at MyBob's.com to play now.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2 times points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Odyssey celebrates National Hispanic Heritage Month, brought to you by T-Mobile. You can count on T-Mobile to help you stay connected on America's largest 5G network.